The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
Yes, yes, it is the Money Life Market Call, and I am excited today because one of my favorite money managers to talk with is David Trainer. He is the president of New Constructs. If you're not familiar, check out newconstructs.com. I will tell you that I'm excited. You've been waiting all week because I've told you at some point we would do this. David Trainer is going to be the new regular on Money Life starting next Monday. We're going to be taking some of the stuff that he does in his work where New Constructs is perhaps best known for its attractive and dangerous stocks list, its most dangerous stocks list. Well, we're going to bring you David's report from the danger zone. It's going to be stocks and companies that they may not be on the most dangerous list, but there's something there that is dangerous. And we can't wait to bring that to you every single week so that you can take a look and try to figure out. And what I love about New Constructs research is that it is bottoms up. You hear us talk all the time. We've got guys on their value. They're looking for growth at a reasonable price. New Constructs starts at the deepest level, doing very bottoms up stuff with the footnotes, and then finding out if what a company's telling you is correct. And that is why I like their research. And that's also why I'm thrilled to welcome David Trainer, not only to Money Life today, but knowing that he's going to be joining the Money Life family next week. David, welcome back to the show.
Chuck, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it, too.
And David, of course, joins us on the Hightower Hotline. Hightower knows that trust has taken a terrible beating on Wall Street and that no advisory relationship works without trust. To start building that trust with a financial counselor, check out HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, David, I talked about how you dig in at the footnote level, but I think the thing that people really need to understand about your methodology is that functionally you are looking to see whether or not the real numbers are misleading. Explain how that works.
Wall Street has, and companies have convinced the investing world to focus on earnings per share and net income, and that's like trying to make, that's like your doctor doing a full physical based on only looking in your ears and nothing else. And so we focus on looking at the comprehensive financial picture, which means everything. And the hardest part of that is the footnotes and also a little piece of the filing called the management discussion and analysis. XBRL and data providers don't touch this stuff. In fact, you're not allowed to tag anything with XBRL in the MD&A. And for those who don't know what XBRL is, that's the new SEC program for tagging data to make it machine readable.
Right.
And the big point is, Chuck, and you're right, bottoms up is what we do. We do our diligence. It's sort of the old school roll up your sleeves, what Ben Graham and Warren Buffett would do if they were to start from scratch with a company. What's unique about New Constructs is that I've found ways to use technology and automation to make that a much faster process. Built on my experiences, you know, I call that, you know, when I did it manually, it was sort of like digging with a spoon. And after doing it for thousands of filings, I realized, well, hey, I could automate just this little bit and this little bit. It would make things so much faster. Now, my analysts are able to dig with a shovel, you know, and from that, we've built additional automation. And the point is, in my opinion, there's no substitute for doing your diligence, and that means evaluating the entire body of financial information before trying to make an investment decision.
Now, when you do that, you do come to the conclusion at times that companies look better or worse on paper than they really are. What distinguishes that out in terms of, since it's bottoms up, how much does the economy play in? and how much of it is simply, hey, this is what the numbers tell us about this stock?
Well, the economy plays a big role. It's the tide that moves the ships in a lot of ways. But if the ship's got a hole in it, it doesn't really matter in which way the direction the tide is going. And so what we're looking at is the soundness of the business model. We'll compare what we believe to be the real economic cash flows of the business to the accounting earnings and get a sense of whether or not the valuation of the stock accurately reflects the real cash flows as opposed to the superficial cash flows that companies are trying to sell to the public.
When you look at it now, what winds up standing out to you? What are the things where you're going, here's where I think people can find stuff?
Well, the sectors I like are consumer staples, information technology, and healthcare. Those are my top three. As you know, Chuck, we do every quarter I'll come out with my sector roadmap, which will rank all the sectors according to how much capital or how much market value is allocated to good stocks versus bad stocks. But since you're asking, yeah, my worst or my least favorite sectors are utilities, telecom, and financials. Those stocks rank the worst for two reasons. One, the economics or the real cash flows of those businesses are very poor. They're among the worst. And the valuation of the stocks is very high. Two stocks that I've been negative on for a while, Bank of America and Citigroup, we put out sell calls on those, and those have made our clients, you know, 30, 45% each. Those were companies that were drastically overstating their profitability by drawing down reserves or taking advantage of pension accounting or funky tax stuff.
Right.
And their valuations at the time all implied boom time growth, like 15% annualized profit growth for 15 years and stuff like that. And we just said, you know, these stocks are, not only are they priced for perfection, but they're imperfect when you look beyond just skin deep. And it worked out well.
You talk about disliking utilities. You know, that's an area that a lot of people want to go to right now because of the dividends and the payouts. When we talk about things that are misleading, I want to get a sense of that one, because some people would say, look, I'm buying utility companies basically to get the yield, and I'm not that worried about total return. I mean, as long as I'm not losing a fortune, if I'm getting the income, it's better than what I'm getting in my CDs. That's okay. When you look at utilities and you dislike them, how does that factor in? I mean, is it just that you're never willing to settle for, hey, this is overpriced and not necessarily where you should be, or is there more to it than that?
Anytime you make an investment decision, you've got to take into account the capital you're putting at risk. So even if you're buying, the problem is that too often people will look at a yield on a stock too much like the yield on a bond. With a bond, you know, the price of that bond or the credit risk there tends to be fairly small, unless, of course, you're getting into the high yield stuff and getting into the really risky stuff. But you know, to compare dividend yield to a bond yield is just not correct, because there's a great deal more credit risk with a stock than there is with a bond. By definition, equity ownership is subservient or secondary to the bond guys. So the bonds always get paid first, right? And so the equities, and the reason you get the upside on the equities, because you're the leftover cash flow, everything left over.
Yep.
But you got to hope there's something left over. And utilities tend to be highly levered. That means the equity piece of the pie can be small. At the end of the day, though, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're getting 4 or 5% on your dividend yield on a stock. If the stock goes down 40%, you're still going to be out money, a lot of money, right?
Yep.
So you got to make sure that when you buy something, it's a good stock and it has a good dividend. So you can't just believe that the price of that stock is going to stay the same or get better. If it goes down a lot because it's not as good as you think, then the dividend is going to be inconsequential to the amount of loss you might incur.
Well, and that's why, of course, people should never wind up chasing yield. But again, I find these days, and I don't know what you find when you talk to investors, it's really tough for them to sort of turn away from a reasonable but attractive yield, even when, you know, they're not willing to do that bottoms-up due diligence that maybe says, yeah, this isn't the best one for you.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's no question about it. The work we do is difficult and time-consuming, and most folks would like to believe they don't have to do it. I'd submit to you, and Chuck, we've talked about this before, over most of the last 15 years, you were fine just kind of playing a momentum strategy and just running in the market. And we've had a flood of individual investors who are, you know, rather unsophisticated.
Yep.
E-Trade and Ameritrade and Fidelity.com, these guys would like you to think otherwise, because you're using their software, so therefore, you know, you're smart and you can compete with professionals. That's sort of just not quite the case.
Yeah. Well, E-Trade, so easy that a baby can do it, which also
means
you know, think about the bad messages there. But we're going to hope we've got some good messages from some of our audience because it's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time here on Money Life. This is where we put our guest to your test. So if you wish we were talking about one of your favorite stocks, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you are interested to me. It's chuck@moneylifeshow.com, and hopefully they will make it into a future interview. My guest today is David Trainer. He is the president of New Constructs. It's newconstructs.com. On Twitter, it's @newconstructs if you want to learn more about the firm. And like I said, David will be back next week as we talk about The Danger Zone, our new feature. He will be joining us on Monday with that.
Danger, danger.
Let's start, David, with a request we got from Brent in Chandler, Arizona. And Brent, by the way, just sent me a whole list of new requests, but this is one of his older ones. It's Baxter International, ticker symbol BAX.
I like Baxter a lot. You know, it's in one of my top three sectors, healthcare, and, you know, we own it in our hedge fund. It has a very high return on invested capital of close to 17%, and the current valuation implies that the company's profits are going to permanently decline by almost 30%. You know, and these guys are in a business. You know, healthcare is a great business because no matter what the economy is doing, people are still getting sick, right?
Yep.
And they're not in the high-end fancy stuff. They're just in a sort of a lot of the humdrum supplies related to dialysis and diabetes. And, you know, these are diseases or afflictions that aren't really on the decline. They're more on the rise. And anytime I think a strong franchise and a high-return business has a valuation that implies permanent profit decline on the order of 20, 25, 30%, you're getting great value.
And so that would make it a buy.
Hold it, baby, buy.
Okay, yes. That's a buy on Baxter International, ticker symbol BAX.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You know, that request came from Brent in Chandler, Arizona. One of our other guys who regularly sends us requests is Rick in York, Pennsylvania. He wants to know about Sirius XM Radio, the ticker symbol SIRI.
You know, I definitely say you fold it on that one. And Sirius has been one that has bounced around. It's a kind of a popular stock, and it's one that's confounded me for ages because the company's never really been profitable in my model, not in the entire history we have on that business. And at the same time, however, the valuation implies the profits are going to be already, like current valuation is implying that profits will be over 200% greater into perpetuity than what they are right now. And it seems like if satellite radio was going to have worked, it would have at least come close to those kinds of growth or profit numbers, and it just hasn't. You know, in the meantime, the returns on capital are below the cost of capital. They're not really creating any shareholder value, and I have a hard time seeing how investors would want to take the risk of investing in such an expensive stock that's really not been able to show any real traction when it comes to profits.
So that was a fold on Sirius XM Radio, ticker symbol SIRI.
Put that one on the psycho list.
And I have a feeling, David, that you will hear from some of the psychos who own that stock, as every time it has been stupid investment of the week a few times, and always I get a lot of mail when I talk about Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, it's funny. These popular stocks attract a lot of psychos.
They do. Pete in Hanover Park, New Jersey, wants to know about Healthcare Realty Trust, the ticker symbol HR.
You know, Healthcare Realty Trust is sort of one of those that's confounded me as well. I mean, this is a business that, you know, we show terribly unprofitable. I mean, a return on capital of less than 1%. At the same time, you know, you've got evaluation that it's implying a sort of drastic turnaround in the business. And this is where people forget to look at the balance sheet. And yeah, Healthcare Realty has shown some earnings, positive earnings growth, and fairly, you know, high earnings relative to their past. But you know what? The amount of capital that they're throwing into the business dwarfs the income they're making. So dollar per dollar or cash on cash return wise, it's just a bad business. So you need to fold it.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
That was a sell on Healthcare Realty Trust, ticker symbol HR. Stu in Boston wants to know about Kronos Worldwide. It's KRO.
Kronos is a stock I like. I mean, this is, again, you'll hear me say the same thing about stocks we like because we're very specific and very, very diligent about only buying really profitable businesses. That's why we do the work through the notes, because we want to make sure that when we buy something that we believe to be profitable, it really is profitable. And Kronos has got a 30% plus return on invested capital. And its stock price implies that its profits are going to decline permanently by over 50%. So people want to talk about margin for error. Warren Buffett likes to mention that a lot. Owning a stock whose profits imply a permanent 50% decline is a lot of margin of error there. At the same time, we're seeing a 30% return on capital. We like that. Hold that stock.
That would be a buy on Kronos Worldwide, ticker symbol KRO.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Aaron in Eugene, Oregon wants to know about Credit Acceptance Corp, CACC.
28% return on invested capital. The current stock price implies no future profit growth. That's a hold it as well. Again, good margin of error because no growth implied in the stock price, high returns on invested capital, which means it's a strong business. And it's kept a clean balance sheet when a lot of financial companies haven't, and that means that they actually are poised to take share while everyone else is licking their wounds. And we like that. We like the small, you know, we don't like many financials, right? It's one of the worst rated sectors.
Right.
But that doesn't mean every stock and every sector is bad. You know, there are energy stocks that I like. There are some financials, and Credit Acceptance is one of the few. And we like it because it's going to be able to swim against the current that I think is washing away the businesses of a lot of other financial companies that got themselves in trouble.
So while we called it a hold in the parlance of hold it or fold it, because you're using our language, it's really a buy. I mean, I was wondering whether this was a hold it if you got it, but don't buy more because you don't love financials, or if this was a buy.
Yeah, I apologize for that confusion. And yeah, when you tell me hold it or fold it, I think that to me is buy or sell. So hold it means buy it.
There you go. So that would be a buy on Credit Acceptance Corp, ticker symbol CACC.
Buy, buy, buy. Is that all you can think about?
Well, it's about most of what we can think about, because we like buying when we can. And if you want to know more about the most attractive and most dangerous stocks, so the things that David Trainer thinks you should buy or sell, hold or fold, as he was using our terms, well, check out newconstructs.com. You can also follow the firm and David on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer, it is great chatting with you. We, of course, will talk again on Monday when we debut The Danger Zone.
Thanks so much, Chuck. It was great to be with you. I really enjoyed it.
We've got just a little bit more of Money Life to lead. Stick around for after the break. You don't want to miss it. It's like stopping the race before you reach the finish line. That's never good. We'll be right back with more Money Life.